You can put the microphone on now if you want.
No, I don't know. We need it.
Oh, he's here.
Oh, I'll go now.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
Okay. The Environment Committee meeting of November 8th is hereby called to order. We have a quorum, and we have one item listed for discussion today: to consider legislation to recertify the Westchester County Agricultural District Number 1. We also have some guests in the audience. Why don't we just ask everyone to identify him or herself and ask the county staff to come to the table for us if we could.
Ask him or her come to the table themselves?
Right.
Him or herself.
Him or herself, that's what I meant. Thanks. Okay, why don't we start here?
Dave Cavinga, Director of Environmental Planning.
I'm Thomas Gardner from the Law Department.
Welcome. And in the audience we have?
Patty Peckham. I'm a pending member of the Agricultural Protection Board.
Barbara Wilkins, Chair of the Ag and Farmland Protection Board.
And Peter Tan is being a member of the Ag and Farmland Protection Board and Deputy Supervisor of the Town of North Salem.
Okay, welcome. Just a little bit of history, very briefly. Chris Crane, our staff member, has distributed the legislative history of the Westchester Agricultural District Number 1. At various times, I remember being the chairman of the committee that went through this effort, and many of you were here at the time. We started back in 1999 when we created the board, the Agricultural and Farmland Protection Board. That was 1999. In 2000, we actually set up the district. In 2004, we set up a process for amending the district, and we added some parcels. In 2005, we added some additional parcels, as we did in 2006. And then in 2007, I guess we added a few more parcels. We did not add any, however, in 2008 or 2009 or thus far this year in 2010, because we set in motion a process to review the district back in, I guess it was the end of 2007. We set up, when did we do that? Beginning of 2008, Chris, or was it, when did we set up the process?
Actually, Mr. Cavinga might know.
Okay.
Yeah, it was April of 2008, with the creation of the steering committee.
And so I'm now going to refer everyone to, very briefly, to the materials that Chris has given you. You'll see copies of the agricultural district law, which is part of the Ag and Markets Law of the State of New York. And you have a report from the recertification report given to us by our Agricultural and Farmland Protection Board. And at this point, with that background, I'll turn it over to which of you two gentlemen would like to address us first?
I could start. As you said directly for you, we did go through this. We know that over the past few years, particularly the late 2007, 2008, the county started receiving some applications that were causing a lot of concern, particularly from the local municipal officials. So in response to that, the Agriculture and Farmland Protection Board every year has always had some criteria to evaluate parcels, and they kept modifying that in response to those applications. But with the pending recertification of the district, the department, the prior administration, and the Commissioner of Planning decided to create this steering committee that would, in addition to just going through some of the requirements or the required tasks associated with recertifying the district, but would also look at trying to address some of those local municipal issues. So the steering committee and the Agriculture and Farmland Protection Board actually retained a consultant and went through a process that and took a couple of years to collect data and some of the information necessary or required by Ag and Markets law. And that did result in the plan, which was adopted by the Agriculture and Farmland Protection Board this past May, and sent along to the Board of Legislators along with a recommendation to modify the district. So that would be to continue the Westchester County Agricultural District, but modify it in two rather, or in a number of significant ways, the most significant being a geographic limitation to the district. The municipalities that you see here kind of in a yellow hatch are recommended in that proposed modification to be eligible communities. So that would be that farmland of the actual agricultural district would continue as a parcel-based district, but only parcels within those eligible communities would be eligible for inclusion in the district. Those include Cortland, Yorktown, Somers, North Salem, Lewisboro, Bedford, the village of Sleepy Hollow, and the western portion of Mount Pleasant from basically west of the Taconic State Parkway. That captures about 95 or in excess of 95% of the land currently within the agricultural district. So we felt that that was appropriate. It missed a lot, or it excludes a lot of municipalities that have very small amounts of agricultural land or under the current district. As you may be aware, agricultural district law places a number of requirements on municipalities, on local municipalities, for which an agricultural district is located within. Including incorporating agriculture specifically as part of comprehensive planning. They also have to undertake some additional processes and notification requirements whenever development is proposed within proximity to an agricultural district. So there are some additional requirements placed on local municipalities. For those municipalities that have an acre or two of agricultural district property within them, we did not think that, or the steering committee did not think that that was reasonable to place those restrictions upon the entire community. So the district would be restricted to those communities that you see on the map here. In addition, there were a number of other criteria proposed, which are outlined in they're included in that report. Criteria with respect to the scale of the operation. So they wanted to see that there was a minimum scale of an agricultural operation. This was an item that received a lot of discussion among the steering committee and the Agriculture and Farmland Protection Board. At the end of the day, what was recommended is basically a reiteration of the definition of farm operation included in agricultural districts law. It does not, in agricultural districts law, that definition does not apply to agricultural districts. It is used in the agricultural assessment program. But the recommendation is to pick that up and use it to evaluate whether a property is of that minimum scale to be included in the district. And that is a minimum of 7 acres of land and $10,000 in gross sales, or if the property is less than 7 acres, a minimum of $50,000 in gross sales. So that was that's a district or a proposed criteria for scale. You will also see there are proposed criteria that also have to do with the farm operation, that the farm owner has to demonstrate that the individual parcels, if there are individual parcels, that they function as one single farm entity. There is also another criteria, and a lot of these reiterate criteria that are already in place, to demonstrate that the farm or the proposed farm operation is appropriate for the land. You know, we have had seen some applications come in the past where they were proposing livestock operations on steep slopes or something of that nature. The Agriculture and Farmland Protection Board, in those cases, recommends against including property or including proposed farm operations of that nature, although that site may be appropriate for another type of agricultural operation. So there are a number of criteria to address the farm operation, its appropriateness for the district and for the site. In addition, there's a recommended criteria that deals with environmental performance to ensure that the farms located within the district are promoting the best environmental practices possible for agricultural operations that could be demonstrated through the adoption of a whole farm plan or some type of a nutrient management plan as prepared by the Watershed Agricultural Council, sound practices determination by the Department of Agriculture and Markets, or some other equivalent certification or of those types of practices as determined by the Agriculture and Farmland Protection Board. There are other criteria, or I think the last criteria is that the board can ask for any other information that it deems appropriate, and this is the Agriculture and Farmland Protection Board, or the Board of Legislators for that matter, to adequately evaluate that farmland and the farm operation for inclusion within the district.
Where is that found?
It's the very last section, section 4, and it will be at the end of that section. So you start at the back, and there's the last two pages are the survey form that we sent out. Then there's a map, and then it should be towards the end.
Proposed agricultural district geography, page 29. Page 28, the proposed agricultural district property criteria.
Yes. That is correct.
Okay.
That's where it starts.
I have a question as to how we incorporate this, but I'll save that for later.
Okay. I did want to talk a little bit about the surveys that were sent out and as they relate to the map that you see here before you. As part of this process, the agricultural consultant retained by the county sent out that survey form that is included at the as an appendix to the report to all of the district property owners. We sent that out at least three times and tried to outreach in additional ways to do that. We only got about a 50% response rate, and so what you see here before you is not a continuation of all of the properties that are currently in the district and meet those eligibility requirements. We took from we got about 101, 102 responses back. From those, we could then kind of apply that filter of the proposed criteria and came up with the number of the parcels that you see here before you. There will likely, as word gets out that the district has been recertified, we will likely see a lot of applications for inclusion of land, or at least I think that's what the Agriculture and Farmland Protection Board hopes, that those farm owners that didn't take advantage of the survey form and will probably be coming in January with some applications to add a lot of land.
Do you have anybody included who did not fill out a survey form?
No. Only farm owners that filled out the survey, that returned the survey form and met the size criteria were included. So there may even be we did not go back, and in the survey form you'll see we did not ask for financial information. So these are basically only the 7 acres and over parcels.
And did you drop anyone who filled out the survey form?
Yes. Yes, there were a number of parcels that did not meet the criteria that do not appear on this map.
Okay. All right, continue.
That is basically it. I think that to keep the process moving, I know the Agriculture and Farmland Protection Board discussed just those issues over a couple of months. You know, was how do we outreach to them? How do we notify the people that didn't get in? I think that there is the modification that was made in 2004 to Ag and Markets Law that allows this annual inclusion period is still in place. So come January, presuming the district does get recertified by the state, people will be allowed to apply to add land to the district.
Does anybody? I want to suggest the following procedure to move things along. If you have a question that's relevant to what has been discussed so far, raise it now.
Yeah.
Otherwise, let's go to council and then hear from the chair of the board. And then we'll come back, because I have a whole series of questions, too.
All right, just a quickie to this point. Since I've been in on these discussions, you've explained it to me, but I know that this is new to some of the folks at the table. Will you just briefly take us through the process of the role of the Ag Protection Board, what this board's role is, and how a property applies, what their role is, what our role is, and just a quick flow chart.
I was going to ask that too, but I was going to wait till after council, but that's okay. We can do it now.
Yeah, the agricultural district is a state program. It is dictated by state law through Ag and Markets law, and as such, and landowners that are included in the district receive protections as spelled out in Ag and Markets law. The county chooses whether it wants to participate in the program or not. So the Board of Legislators did basically make that decision in 2000 when it adopted a resolution to create an agricultural district. But that's about as far as the county's involvement is. Every year under the annual inclusion period, the county can recommend additional parcels to be included in the district, but that's basically the limit of the county's role. Once a property is included in the district, they're dealing with the state. So all of the provisions of the district are administered by the state.
It's an opt-in or an opt-out, and that's it.
Exactly. So we are trying, I think one of the things that we have that we're trying to do with these proposed modifications is to kind of document at least the rationale for including a parcel.
What are the modifications to? Since we cannot affect the state law, what are these modifications to?
These modifications are basically, the modifications are to the board's power to add land to the district. So what types of properties
are we amending what the Board of Legislators approved? Or are we just amending the process by which they make recommendations to the board? Or are we setting up rules of the Board of Legislators itself? Let me explain to those who weren't here before why, because I was here from the beginning on this. The problem we had was it was an opt-in or an opt-out. So once you opt in, you get the whole thing. And one of the problems that we found was that the state was not as sensitive as we would have liked to some of the local needs. And so some of the communities were concerned that the agricultural district was being used to avoid or evade their wetlands protection laws and their zoning powers. And in fact, we had one situation here in White Plains where a particular outfit was tried to become a member of the board to avoid the city of White Plains' powers dealing with them. And we actually went through what was several meetings, which I conducted as if I was an administrative hearing officer. We created a record and we explained point by point by point why we denied them entrance to the board. We were sued and the court upheld us, not on the grounds that I think the court should have upheld us, which was that we have legislative prerogatives and therefore the lawsuit should be dismissed, but they did it on the grounds that we acted reasonably and we were not arbitrary and capricious, which is why I spent all of that time as a hearing officer with this board rather than just, making a denial. But the concern was that you shouldn't have to do this on every application. We don't want to put this board particularly this committee in the situation of having to hold full hearings for hour after hour after hour on when someone comes in and makes an application. So we were very concerned about that, and our committee, as well as our staff, began negotiating. Tell me if, correct me if I'm a little fuzzy on the details. This way I remember it, though. Started to negotiate with Albany and the Ag and Markets Board to see if we could have a different kind of a law for a suburban community. I personally believe, and one of the things I have to look at, is whether we can have a suburban, we may have to change the law to make it a suburban Ag and Markets law, so that you can have a suburban district. Because right now, the district we have is the same district with the same powers and same whatever as those guys up in upstate New York where it's total farmland. It just doesn't seem to be appropriate here. So they and their consultant came up with the idea of let's restrict this, the application of this district, to the parts of the county that are more rural and have more significant farmland. Because we had problems in White Plains was one. And we also had problems in other communities where the local government started to object. And they said, at first, we thought this was a great idea, but now it's turning out that it's just not workable. So that's why they've come back with this plan. and they've excluded a lot of parcels that would like to be included in other parts of the county, but where there would be some difficulty if you included that whole community. So that's how we got to where we are. But the question, I mean, I've looked at this report, and the criteria that you set up make a lot of sense. My only question is, where are we putting the criteria? Because we can't amend the state law, and we were told way back when that we couldn't set up standards different from the state law, that we had to apply the state standards on determining whether to let a parcel in or not let a parcel in. And aside from the one where we had the lawsuit, we did deny others, or we allowed them to withdraw their applications, indicating that we were not viewing their applications favorably, and if they wanted to go back and work on them again, that maybe we would reconsider them. Mm-hmm. And so, but we had one, I remember, which was a 2-acre parcel. I don't remember what community it was in. Everybody else around it was 2 acres, and they already had 2 buildings on the property. They were in a dispute with the community over a wetlands application and whether they were despoiling the wetlands. And it was clear, again, that this was an attempt to evade the local zoning laws, et cetera. So, but this board should not be put in the situation of having to go through all of this over and over again when they're clearly not appropriate applications. So that's why we're having this whole discussion here, and I commend all of you for the great job that you did in this great report. My only question is, how do we put this into effect? I mean, what are we amending here?
In our discussions, we had a number of meetings with Ag and Market staff, and in fact, the agriculture consultant that we retained had retained as a consultant the prior deputy commissioner of New York State Ag and Market. So, and we never got a clear answer one way or the other. We've been told both. We have been told that yes, you have the count. It's the county's decision. The decision to enter to create an agricultural district is a county, it's a local decision. It's a county decision. You have the right to create standards and tweak it as you see fit. And I'll ask, and when I asked them again, I said, well, what if we want to restrict, if we wanted to exclude certain farms? They said, well, you can't do that. I said, well, we want to, that you just said we could do that. So I never got a clear answer from them. I doubt we will ever get anything in writing from them until we submit a recommendation to modify the district and get something back from the commissioner. Other counties do have districts with some types of evaluation criteria, multiple districts within the county, because we were also told that as well, is that because we told them we wanted to do this, we wanted to just restrict the district to certain municipalities within the county. And again, we got the yes and no answer, although there are many other counties with multiple districts. I think that it's unfortunate.
I just wanted everybody here at the table to understand that this is uncharted waters here. Mm-hmm. And that my own personal view, if I can express that, is because I've been doing this a long time, is that the agricultural district is important for the county of Westchester, and it's something we should do. But I'm anticipating that we're going to have a discussion today. I would like to see us get this on the agenda for the next board meeting, but I would hope that the committee would follow the following procedure, that we discuss it today and we make our suggestions to council and to staff on any changes we'd like to see, and then we'll come back next week and put it out for the full board action, because I think it's important that we do it. But I do think that some of the discussion we're having here we have to think about, and we have to make some modifications to the legislation that's before us to spell out some of these concerns that we have so that it's documented, unless council tells us sure. That's a bad idea. Anyway.
Let's have a quick question. You mentioned that you got 2 answers through the state. Are these recommendations for property criteria more or less restrictive than what's in the state law?
Currently now, as I said before, the first proposed criteria reiterates a definition of farm operation that's included in agricultural districts law. But they do not apply that definition to the agricultural districts portion of the law. It's applied to the agricultural assessment, the tax assessments that are, it's a separate program, it's included in ag districts law, but it's separate from the agricultural districts.
Let me back up for a second. You're dealing with Article 25 of the of McKinney's, basically?
Yeah, 25 double A.
Okay, and if you take a look at your what you have from council here, mm-hmm. you have various sections. Now, the assessment section is not included in here, is it?
Yeah, it may not be included in the... It's section 305.
305. There it is, agricultural district's effects. Is that
yeah,
it?
Yeah, well, or maybe it's 306.
Okay. Well, it's under the agricultural district area.
Oh, 304A, agriculture assessment value.
That's the
back
yes.
page.
Yeah. Okay. So, but the definitions that are in 304A are not included in...
Well, the definitions are under section 301, you know, for the whole set, you know, Article 25AA has one definition section, but the definition for farm operation is only used in that 304, which is the Ag Assessment Program. It's not the agricultural
And you would like to
program.
Make sure that that definition is used for the purposes that we're dealing with it as well.
Yes. As we understand it, other counties have used that to define what is a farm.
Okay. The second point that you're dealing with, encouragement. I think that's clear. So
well,
I just want to incorporate that definition.
Yeah, exactly. But if you look at in 303. The agricultural district sections of the Ag and Market Law, it kind of loosely defines how the Ag Board is supposed to make that determination, how the county is supposed to
determine. So there's a legal question as to whether the definition found in 301 applies to the agricultural district, and you're trying to incorporate that definition to
yes.
make sure that that definition is available for the board and for us.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, sure.
But the recommendation for size of farm and productivity of the farm, that's something that the county came up.
Yeah. No, that's 7 acres.
It's
in here.
One of the members of the board would like to make a comment.
Please
identify yourself for the tech.
Peter Kamenstein. I'm a member of the Ag and Farmland Board. In reality, the size requirements that we're proposing, okay, it's something that the state does not define a farm by size. Zero. You know.
That's what I figured.
So we are, in reality, proposing something that is more restrictive than the state does have in its Ag and Markets Law, because it simply does. Real property services, on the other hand, does have acreage limitations as to what will be available for agricultural assessment, but that is strictly a taxation basis. It has nothing to do with farm definition. So what we're proposing for farm definition for what should be allowed into the district is more restrictive than the state would allow under
Can
its
I
ag
suggest
and markets
that
laws.
That there's two questions, two aspects to our discussion. Right. One of them is the merits of the substantive proposals that you're making. I have not yet heard anybody object to any of those proposals on the merits. We may in the future, but I haven't heard anybody object yet. The second question is, how do we make sure that what you've proposed actually sticks? Where do we put it so that it's documented and you're authorized to use it? Because I personally, being a lawyer, do not want to see somebody a year from now come in and say, wait a minute, I want to be included in the district, and your board is using standards that are not legal. So what do we do as a legislature to make sure that your standards are somehow adopted somewhere so that you can use these standards?
Well, the only thing that I can say is for 20 years, I was a member of the zoning board in town of North Salem. For the past 10, not, I'm now no longer on the zoning board, I'm on the town board. For the past 10, 11 years, I was its chairman. Now, if you take a look at the way agricultural land is divided up in the county of Westchester, at least based on this latest statistic, we by far have the majority of it.
Right.
And we have had instances, obviously, where, I mean, we probably have more horses than people. And we've had instances where there's been certain disputes, and we've had ag and markets. We've worked very, very closely with ag and markets. And we've never had an issue with them. Even though we have our own definitions of what's a farm in our town, what's allowed, it does not comport precisely with what the Ag and Markets definitions are. but they have never come in and taken us to task for them. You know, if they're reasonable,
well, the question
they let them stand.
The question I'm going to have then is, and I guess this would be addressed to council. We haven't given him a chance to comment. As I look at the resolution that we have before us, it doesn't incorporate any of this. Should our resolution recite a little bit more detail the history of the board, the Farm Protection Board, and the history of the district, and then indicate some specific findings as to why we want to modify the district? Because I don't see anything in here that gives the findings as to why we're, and I'm not disputing the proposal that you made. I'm just saying, should we not elaborate a little bit more as to why we're making the changes that we're making in the resolution itself, so that there are specific findings by this board that say, we've done this, we've had this hearing, we heard the following, we did this, we had this process, our board went out and did a report, here's the report, the legislature has reviewed the report, the legislature highlights the following points, the legislature believes we should adopt these four standards, and therefore, under these circumstances, the board then modifies.
I had thought that perhaps in rather a brief fashion, I thought it had detailed that we had accomplished all the steps that were supposed to be accomplished pursuant to 303A of the Agricultural and Markets Law. And it was the board's determination to adopt as its recertification plan the plan as submitted by the Ag and Farmland Protection Board.
Well, I would like to see us spell that out more in our legislation. This way, the whole history is there. Because as I understand this modification is, we don't do this. The Ag and Markets Commissioner does this. This is basically a recommendation, correct? The process that you were just talking about here?
Correct.
So we do findings, and then we send those findings to the commissioner, and the commissioner then has to, in effect, approve or deny our request?
And one of the things the commissioner will be reviewing is the report of the Agricultural and Farmland Protection Board.
Just on that point, it seems to me that, if I understand it, we basically would adopt or attach the report.
Correct.
That gets sent. You run into more potential problems if in the law that we pass adopting this, you try to spell out a whole bunch of stuff that, in theory, you might draft a couple lines that are in conflict with the report. If the report has all the criteria, all that's in there, you know, that's what we want the commission to look at. And expanding on another document for substantively may be, you know, creating, you got to read two places now. The message is, we've adopted it, go read it. And maybe the adopting
the language doesn't say we adopted.
Oh, okay, well, that's it. But it's, I wouldn't want to write too
I
much
think
in
that
the
is one way to do it.
Just say, you know.
I think we could say that we hereby adopt and.
If I'm understanding that, the report.
And incorporate by reference.
And incorporate by reference, and then don't bother reading this legislation. We might say something that's somehow in conflict. We're happy with the report. We stand by the report. And you know.
Oh, here it is. It does. This board does adopt as its plan for the review of. Well.
If you want to give it a force of law, if you want to refer to it that it's make it part of the law. If you think it has better standing, if it's, you know, incorporated by reference to the law.
Reviewed the foregoing report.
Are you reading the?
But we want the report to stand on its own. I think we don't want to try to add to it. And you know,
right.
Some
well,
fashion.
That's
here
valid.
It says the board has reviewed the foregoing report,
and given it due consideration,
and during the course of public comment.
Okay, here's more what I'm concerned about. Take a look at the second page of the document that you have here, and you'll see what Chris has underlined. It says the county legislative body shall review any district created under this section. Okay. So I would, maybe it's obvious, but I would start off the resolution by saying, whereas on such and such a date, the board of legislators created the district, and 8 years thereafter, you know, commence the review.
Okay. You want to make sure our law stands.
Correct.
Stands the review of someone attacking our law is passed.
Exactly. I want to just make sure that everything in here documents what we have done, because we've done everything.
I got you.
I agree with you. I think we've done everything. And then it says provide notice of the district review, And I think it would be helpful if we spelled out when we did that. That's all I'm saying, is can we just follow the statute?
Well, the committee report can lay this out.
Well, does the committee report do that?
Sometimes, you know, all that kind of history, which is important, maybe the committee report can cite the history.
Yeah, but our committee report's only one page long.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, and that kind of stuff. The other thing is, I notice in here, I call your attention to 303A, paragraph 3. It says the district review plan shall include a description of the district, which it does. But it then says include a copy of the testimony given at the public hearing or a copy of the minutes. I don't see that anywhere. And I don't know that the board transcribes those minutes.
I think our thought had been to provide them with a disc of some sort with audio and video from the public hearing.
Well, can we find out whether that's got to be in writing? I mean, I don't want to see us send this up there and then have them send it back and say you didn't send enough information. Can we check to make sure that
I have already asked the Ag and Market staff. I don't have anything in writing, but I'll try and get an email or something.
Right, because if we need to transcribe it, let's just transcribe it and send it to them.
No, I'm just noting that we have an appointments committee at 4:00.
Okay, well, so if we need to transcribe let's do it now rather than later, because I would think that has to be attached to our resolution.
I'll be right back, Mr. Chairman.
The next question I have is, what happens to our initial plan? Is that still in effect, or is it modified by this, or?
It's in effect until it's replaced.
Does this replace it or just modify it?
Replaces it.
This replaces the initial plan. I don't think that's clear in this document. Can we just make that clear in our resolution, that this is a replacement for? I mean, is it in fact a replacement, or is it just a modification? Does the old plan stand and this gets attached to it, or does this go in place of the original plan? Maybe you guys ought to make that determination and let me know.
Okay. I'm sorry, but they call it a recertification. So if it's a recertification, this would be a recertification that's been... It's a modification of the original.
So the original one stands, and we stay for listening to it.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. I think they
speak of the actions that the board can take, of being either to terminate the district, and you would do that by filing some kind of certificate with the county clerk, continue it, which would be without modification, or modify it, and the proposal here would be to modify it.
But what I'm saying is following the paper trail.
Right.
Does the old one still exist, and this gets attached to it, or does this get put in its place? Somewhere it should say in here which one it is. That's all I'm asking for. You guys make the decision and tell us, but I think it should be in writing in here, in our resolution, so that we know, so somebody later looking at this says, okay, I can discard the other document, or no, I need that other document in addition to this. Just a technical point.
I guess, Chris, two quick things. One is, in the report, it says that there is a proposed statement of purpose for the agricultural district. It's on page 28. It's at the top. So I guess along those lines, would this purpose then replace the purpose of the previous, previously formed district in year 2000?
We did not do a plan per se as part of the creation. The district was created based upon a petition. And then reports from the County Planning Board and the County Agriculture and Farmland Protection Board. That was one of the problems in going through this process. Is you're supposed to evaluate the objective, whether the district has met its stated objectives. Well, there were no real stated or clearly stated objectives for the district when it was created. So one of the things that this report does is to try and document that as part of this modification process, is to clearly document the purposes for the district to continue.
So then this is not a substitute for the previous documentation, it's in addition to the previous documentation.
Yes, yes.
Okay, I think we should make that clear in that statement here. The next thing is Seeger. I'm sorry.
You also had a plan in 2004. That was the plan, that big, thick plan, I guess, that the Ag and Farm Board.
That has nothing to do with the district.
Different?
The Agriculture and Farmland Protection Plan. That's another separate item under Ag and Market Law.
Okay. Next question. We have an obligation to do a SEAKER. You have attached here an Ag and Markets EAF, Environmental Assessment Form. Do we need to do an additional SEAKER as well? Do we need another SEAKER document attached to this?
It would be my opinion, no. That is the form that Ag and Markets asked for. Certainly, the standard EAF does include a lot more information, but that is the form that they...
Right, but is that enough to meet our requirements when we pass a resolution at the board?
I believe so. Yeah.
Can you guys check on that and make sure? Because if we need another piece of paper, let's have it for next week. If we don't, if you come back with the conclusion we're okay with this, well, then we can pass it the way it is. But if you need the extra piece of paper, let's have it in advance so we know what needs to be done. Have we notified the existing members of the district that they're no longer going to be in the district? The ones who are dropped out?
Yeah.
Well, do we have to? I mean, it would seem to me that you've got a whole bunch of people out there who are going to think they're going to be, they're continuing in the district, and then all of a sudden they're no longer in the district. Yeah. Isn't there some process for...
That should have been done before a public hearing was held.
Well, we did notify the property owners of the public hearing, and through the survey form. The survey form that said that the only way that they can continue to be in the district is to return the form.
Well, can you please check for me and give me some kind of a legal opinion or something next week that says we're okay? Because I don't want to, again, this is all procedural stuff. I don't want to see you send this to Albany and then find that they say, well, you were supposed to notify the others that they're no longer in the district. Because you are taking away rates from them.
Well, I think, as Dave said, though, I think as a matter of course, everybody that was in the district received a notice that there was going to be...
That the district was undergoing recertification, and that if they wanted to remain in the district, they had to return that form.
Yeah, okay, but I don't know that...
I'm sorry, to that point, because it was one of my questions, you had stated that some of the applicants were, I guess, rejected or denied because they didn't meet all the criteria.
Right.
So would it be those people who didn't meet it? Or, I mean,
address that one parcel.
So people sent it in, and they didn't meet the criteria, and they have no idea that they're not included. And my only other question would be, which one of the criteria was not met? Was there like one overwhelming area which was consistently not, and it's just a matter of curiosity?
Most of them were municipalities, location within the county.
Okay. The concern that I have, though, is do they have any vested rights in the district, and can we change the law without a lawsuit from somebody saying, hey, I was in the district and you changed the law?
Well, but to that point, we did have a public hearing, and we gave 30 days notice for the public hearing, and that was advertised far and wide, so...
Yeah, but the concern I would have is if somebody wasn't told specifically, you're not in this district anymore.
Right.
They're not going to realize that they're not in the district anymore and realize that they should show up to this public hearing for whatever.
I'm not suggesting it's a bad plan. I mean, personally, I don't know what everybody else thinks. I don't have a problem with the plan you've proposed. I just want to make sure that procedurally we're doing this right. I don't want to see somebody from Greenberg comes up and says, hey, wait a minute, I was in the district, and now the town of Greenberg's not in the district anymore, and what are you doing to me?
Right. That's going to happen.
Somebody's going to do that.
It's going to happen.
Just as a point of information, the state provides a 90-day period for anybody who feels that they were either left out or aggrieved or something like that to protest the decision of the agricultural commissioner to recertify the district. So once he makes his recertification, they have a 90-day period in which, at which point in time, to protest that decision.
But they still have to be told.
I think as a matter of course,
or whatever.
Yeah, they should be told.
Well, is there a process that we should follow here that tells them again that on, in 2 weeks from now, the Board of Legislators is intending to pass legislation that's going to change the district, and you're no longer going to be included?
Tom, John and I have a point that we'd like to make.
Okay.
We both have.
Could you guys address that issue for us for next week? And if you think we need a notice, prepare a notice.
All right. We have John and I share the town of Portland, and one resident who happens to be in my district, although there was some dispute for many weeks trying to figure it out, was not in the district, was applying, wanted to apply, could not because the district was under recertification process, And am I correct in believing that in fact we're going to be able to fit him in as soon as the district is recertified?
He can apply.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah. On the assumption of the application.
But he has already applied in March.
Yes.
Not the one I'm thinking of. Maybe you have a different one in mind.
Who are you talking about?
Mr. Morrow?
Yes. Mr. Morrow.
I have his application here. It was March 12th.
Nothing has been sent to the board. It will be sent in January.
But my understanding is we're not putting anybody in this district now.
Right, correct.
He's not already in.
He's not already in.
All we're doing is dropping people.
And that was the point I wanted to make, is that Mr. Morrow would be included when the opening occurs. When you're able to put people in, then he would be eligible to go in.
Sure. Yeah, the 30-day, we start that process every January. We receive applications.
Is there a public notice?
He applied in March.
But there was no there was nothing to apply for this year.
Right.
There no applications.
And honestly,
and there going to be others
even
out
if
there
he
the
would
situation.
Have applied in March, the 30-day window is January. There's only 1 month period in which we receive applications, and that's January, and then the board goes through its deliberations.
Okay. What are we doing to make sure that all those people out there who want to join in January are going to be given notice?
So, Tom, real quick, as they walk out the door, to their point, he will be eligible this January.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, and I will be in touch with Mr. Morrow.
But the answer is he missed the window last year. Is that the answer?
Well, yeah, because there are a variety of problems.
Is this a state window? Is this a county window or a state window?
The process is dictating ag and market law. The county chose January as its 30-day window. This is back in 2004.
That goes to the question I said before. So we're not substituting because all of that stuff still is in effect.
Yes,
so
that process still goes.
Right,
and that's why I think that you know that we thought that you know we've tried our best to notify people of the recertification process and the proposed modifications.
So we're going to have a whole bunch of people coming in January saying, "Hey, we want to be included."
Exactly.
You dropped me out.
Hopefully, you know. I mean, because we don't even have half the farms that are in the district.
And how long does that process take to get?
About 6 months.
So here's a guy who applied in March. It's going to take him till next summer. And in the meantime, he's under zoning restrictions and he's having a hard time. Doesn't seem fair to me. Just doesn't seem fair.
But I guess what I'm hearing is there's nothing for him to apply to in March.
Right. The window was he missed it.
In fact, there were people who were probably interested in coming in 2008, in 2009.
Yes.
Who have been told that there was nothing to go into because we froze the district. You see, what was happening was there was a serious discussion here about abandoning the agricultural district completely. And so because of the conflicts that we had in certain communities,
so it's
basically been a moratorium, and we've been discussing with the state as to try to. And they'll fill you in on the huge amount of work that they were doing. And then they hired this consultant who came up with the idea of restricting it to only certain parts of the county. And that seemed to be, I'm assuming too much here, I'm sorry, because you guys haven't been around as long as I have on this. That seemed to be the answer. That seemed to be the way to save the district and not abandon the district. Because there was serious talk about just doing away with the district. And this is the way.
I don't think the communication is there. I mean, was this guy told in March that he has to wait till January? He was told.
Yeah, and there are going to be others out there too who were just basically told you can't apply. Like you said, there are going to be other farms out there.
There are others. We do have I want to say at least four new applications. Actually, Mr. Hart, who attended the public hearing, is another applicant who had submitted an application in 2008, and has been waiting to get in the district.
Just from a procedural point of view, I think it might be helpful if we could have an entire document, one copy at least, of the original plan and everything we've passed to date in one place. If you guys can compile that for us, so that, because I'm sure that when you send this stuff in, you're going to have to send that to Albany anyway. So that, and it would seem to me that perhaps, and I want to address this to council again, do we have to repass all of that to make sure that we're doing this right?
No, by, not by my reading of 303A. It would simply
okay.
be a resolution.
But I would think that our resolution should say that whereas on such and such a date we passed okay. the following, perhaps attached as Exhibit A, mm-hmm. and then we did the following attached as Exhibit B, so that there's a... Well, let's talk about that. That may be too much paper, but I would at least like to have one copy of it. I don't know, Chris may have it in various places, but it, I think it would be helpful to have this in one place, perhaps in the county attorney's office and at the Board of Legislators. Because we have seen over and over again where things like, I know particularly with the solid waste district, where certain documents just could not be found from 25 years ago. And I want to make sure the same thing doesn't happen here, because the next review is going to be, what, 12 years from now? Or 8 years from now?
8 years
from now.
Well, 8 years from last year. Well, I think it's 8 years measured from when it's yes. adopted by the commissioner.
No.
It'll be 8 years from, the district expired July 19th, 2009, or 17th. It'll be 8 years from that date.
At any rate, so I'd like to have one complete package put together that we could put on file with the clerk of the board, so that six years from now?
Easily get you a CD. I have everything on CD.
Sure. Can I make a procedural suggestion? Perhaps before the next time we meet on this, you and our counsel could meet with them, because this... Not that we don't agree as a committee that we need to document everything we do, but you seem to have a singular focus on what you want here.
Well, I'm concerned about getting this through in Albany. I want to
right.
Make sure
No. Again, I respect what you're doing and I support what you're doing, but what I'm just suggesting is before we come back to the committee and folks drive all the way down,
right.
you have this worked out with them to your satisfaction. And then we can just bring it back together and the committee can say yay or nay.
Since we're running over, does anybody else have any other comments?
If I may.
Sure.
We've been on hold for almost 3 years now, as you've noted in this discussion. We've got a January window to accept new applications, but we want those to be in the new district.
Correct.
And so we really don't want to get backed up. Again, if this committee meets again in 2 weeks...
No, this committee is going to meet again next Monday.
Next week.
And we're going to have this on as the first item for next Monday.
And then after that...
Then the full board meeting is tonight, but there was no... We were already missed.
The 15th. It will be on the full board agenda for the 15th.
Right, and somebody will make sure that it gets on that agenda.
Yes, well, that's yeah. why we're going to consider... No, it's the 22nd.
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 I'm sorry, 22nd.
So,
okay.
But that's what I said when we started this meeting, that I want to make sure, given the timing on this, I want to make sure that we get this on for the next county board meeting.
Thank you.
And that was the reason we had this meeting today, so that we could have this one discussion, get everybody's response to it. I haven't heard any objections to it. I have, we've lost most of the committee, but I'm getting the sense that the committee is on board yeah. with following your recommendation. Now we're just okay. talking about the details mm-hmm. on how do we get this thing
and
completed.
If I could just add one other thing for the record while the tape is running, that we did have the public hearing as required by law. One person came to speak against it, but overwhelmingly, well over a dozen folks came out with enthusiastic support.
Let's address that. The person who objected was from a community that is no longer included in the district, correct?
Right.
Correct.
And perhaps we should make a... Again, can we make a note of that in the record here somehow, so that that's clear that problem has been taken care of? The revision of the district should be resolving that issue. So, in effect, you have addressed the concern that it was a highly suburbanized community that had a concern, and that the new district is created to consist of or be composed of the more rural areas of our county. Is that a fair analysis of...
That's addressed in the,
yes.
It's addressed in the report, though.
That is described in the report, and that was one of the reasons that... What we did was we kind of categorized or characterized what the municipalities in Westchester and split them into three groups. One... with very little agriculture, one, those suburban communities that had some agriculture, and then the more
But maybe I'm being overly cautious here, but if you have an objection, it doesn't hurt to note that the objection was resolved in the reconfiguration of the district. So that anybody have any other comments on approach?
I thank you for taking action.
Actually, I did want to note, just for the record, that we did make a presentation of the modifications to the Northern Westchester Watershed Committee, and actually gave them copies of the district, the proposed modifications, and a list and map of the farms within their municipalities. I have not to date had any correspondence from any of the municipalities.
See, again, that's the type of thing that I'd like to see in the board's committee report or in the legislation itself, because there's nowhere else is this going to be documented. And somewhere along the way, there could be a challenge to this, and it should be in the record that we are presenting that all of this work was done. You guys did the work, and you know it's in your memory that you did the work. It should be documented somewhere, so that there's a record that shows you did this, you did this, you did this.
And again, I would urge that you and council have that meeting with them very early.
Right.
This week, so they have the week to get the work done so we can vote this out next Monday.
Okay.
Thanks. Mr. Chairman, before we adjourn, I want to, on the record, congratulate you on your
victory. Here.
Oh, victory. Thank you.
Here. Here.
I just want to make sure I'm leaving this in proper form. You see, that's it.
We'll write you a letter in January.
who's the next the senior member? You? When did you come in?
I come in?
The second time?
Or is it Mike?
Yeah,
was it Mike?
Yeah, I preceded him. And
I think Mike Kaplowitz was also involved in this whole thing, so he would have a memory of this as well. Because I think Mike is the one who pressed
this. And Mike's on the board.
Yeah, Mike's on the board. He pressed this originally. This was originally Mike's work. But I'm just saying, as we've seen this over and over again in so many areas. I mean, we've sent Chris back to research things, and it takes a lot of work to find out how something got created and why it was done and what the process was. When if it's you have all this material, let's just put it all together so that it's documented there. Any other comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Now, I'm anticipating that next time we're going to do this in a 15-minute discussion, because we'll have another agenda item as well.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Adjourn.
I don't know who.
No, we haven't met. How are you? Nice to meet you.
How are you?
I heard that. Dr. Holland.
What's going on?